I'm David Remnick, and this is a bonus episode of our podcast. When I say bonus, I mean it's not appearing on our radio broadcast at all. This is just for you because you're special. And every week at The New Yorker, we do something called the Caption Contest. We post a cartoon from one of our terrific stable of cartoonists, but we've removed the caption. Thousands of you write in with your suggestions, and through a magical process that we'll explain later, or maybe never at all, readers then vote on winning captions. Among those thousands of contestants are Willie Staley and Matt Jordan. They work as a team, and they submit entries pretty much every week, and they've been doing it for years. They never win, and they probably never will.
I think there's something to the typical New Yorker cartoon where it's, you know, it's succinct, it tends to be clean, it tends to be on cue, and we just try to curveball around that.
Curveball is one way to put it. Another thing you should know is that Willie and Matt's captions are pretty much unprintable in The New Yorker. That's another reason this is a podcast special. We're not letting the FCC anywhere near this. If you're listening with your kids or your mom or you just have a sense of decorum, we'll give you about 5 seconds and then they're going to give us a sample of their work.
You guys got to get me the fuck out of here.
I know what this looks like and I want to be clear about one thing. I wasn't trying to get it to suck my dick.
How the fuck is this my fault?
Hey, cool plaid shirts, you fucking hipsters. Where'd you get them? The fucking, bitch store?
So these guys are never going to win the caption contest, but they're killing it online, where they present their captions on a Tumblr blog called, aptly, Shitty New Yorker Cartoon Captions. Matt Jordan and Willie Staley recently sat down with Emma Allen, The New Yorker's actual, highly non-shitty cartoon editor.
Okay, so here we have one from, what's the month before November? What's 10? October 2017. It's a Tom Chaney cartoon, and it has a lot of guys, a lot of, sort of clones of a single bald business cash looking man emerging from a door one after another, and a woman is on a cell phone, I guess, commenting on this weird phenomenon in front of her. And the winning New Yorker cartoon caption contest caption was, "Hold on, the Senate Committee on Women's Health is getting out."
Which is not a bad caption.
That's a good.
That's
yeah,
a pretty good. Ca- that's
a pretty
good
caption.
One.
Yeah. We approve of that one.
And then will you read the bottom one, which was one of your?
Sure. The bottom one is, "Girl, I'm gonna fuck tonight."
So slight difference in tone.
That's not how I read it, actually.
How would you read it?
I read it more like, "Girl, I'm gonna fuck tonight." Slight different emphasis.
Yeah.
See, I read it like, "Girl."
Yeah, that's
fuck
a little bit more.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit before we get into more examples and parsing the subtle differences between those and the winners. And tell me a little bit about how you found each other and started doing this.
Well, Matt lived in D.C. years ago and ended up being roommates with one of my best friends from college.
I remember there was a dinner party where I told many long, discursive, narrative anti-jokes, yeah. And I think I won you over that night.
Yeah, that was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and I think you then felt as if you could open up to me that you had this passion, which was submitting these captions. And
I was underemployed bartending, and I started posting these a little bit, and then he and I would joke around on GChat a lot. And then we started doing it more regularly. Is that right?
Yeah, we G-chatted about it. And
it took a while, I think, to like fall into the rhythm of it. But then it sort of became a nice thing. Like every Monday morning, I flip open the computer, go to contest.newyorker.com. And then I email Matt or Matt emails me. And we just get the ball rolling like that.
Sort of a classic tale of underemployed man finds soulmate at New Year's party. Takes to the internet to become an obsessive commenter.
Yeah, it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, if it weren't so cliche. Cool.
So cliche.
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to do is, in all honesty, like I'm just trying to make myself laugh. Like we have this like goofy project that we've like for some reason committed ourselves to. Like I don't really think about it as like trying to like undermine the contest or like actually even really try to respond to the contest. Like I'm just trying to die laughing.
I brought you in here to explain why you're doing this. Yeah,
it's that simple. I'm sorry, Emma. It's that simple. But you know, but there's a couple. We have like a bunch of different sort of strategies we employ, and like one of the, I think the fastball is just like going back to this character that we've sort of developed a total outsider to the sort of like ivory tower, like intellectual and social elite that the sort of New Yorker sort of, you know, refracts and represents. He's just beating his head against this thing and like can never figure out how to get it right and like can't figure out not to swear, like can't figure out not to make masturbation jokes, cannot figure out like to keep it under like 150 characters. Like some of our best ones are just like extremely long.
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear what drives people to submit as obsessively as they do and care as much as they do about the caption contest. Because like part of my, you know, 10 months in this job has been learning that everyone I encounter in the world, like the first thing that they'll say to me is they'll sort of like, you know, start wagging their finger in my face and be like, I haven't won the New Yorker caption contest. I've submitted for 20 years. Yeah. My captions have always been better than every single one that's ever made the cut.
Those people are often liars. I read Bob Mankoff's book. There was like a journal story about people years ago, about people who are angry about never getting their captions picked. And they interviewed like notable people who claim to submit every week. And I think Zach Galifianakis is one of them. So Mankoff points this out in the book. And he was like, I looked
Bob
into
Mankoff
it.
Being my predecessor,
yes,
in the role. Yeah.
And he looked into the like the archives and he was like, Zach Galifianakis only submitted twice or something like that.
Mankoff's a data nut. I mean, yeah. I feel like he really loved the data.
Yeah. Are you in love with data?
No. I'm an English and studio art double major who literally couldn't tell you just minutes ago that 10/17 was October of 2017. So no, I'm not really a numbers gal. No, I submitted in high school. I was like trying to figure out if I could find my submissions. I submitted every week for like 4 years in high school, never won. Which I think the real lesson is that you can never win and still become the cartoon editor of the New Yorker.
People
should feel heartened.
Do you have any like one caption that you felt should have at least been a finalist?
I don't. As much as it kept me up at night for many years, I don't still remember my high school submissions. I've finally moved on.
I remember my like first submission actually,
which was
an earnest effort. The cartoon was like a boss of some sort, and there was a gigantic coffee mug on his desk with gigantic writing instruments in it, and I was like, I've got this. And submitted, like, as I'm sure you're well aware, we handle some very big clients. Didn't get in.
And that's when you turned to the dark
side. And that's my super origin story. Yeah. And I was like, fuck this.
It only took one.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's interesting. There are actually a lot of, I've always loved this one statistic, which is that there are vastly more men who submit than women, which I think is sort of a fundamentally like male thing to be like,
of course.
Wow, like a bunch of professionals do this thing.
Yeah.
I could do their
of course.
Job
yeah,
better.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then when they don't, like take it incredibly personally.
Yeah.
should we look at a couple more examples?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. That sounds great.
We have this Amy Huang, the cactus one, which is pretty recent.
I'll try to describe this.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a sort of a desert scene. There's a sort of a mesa or a low mountain kind of off in the distance. We have a man and a woman jogging, it looks like for exercise, given that they're wearing sort of matching athleisure wear. The man seems pretty content. He's jogging forward. But the woman's looking behind them and is saying something to a giant humanoid cactus that's following them. Now, one interesting...
Saguaro cactus.
Yeah, saguaro cactus. Yeah. And one interesting detail about this cartoon is that only the cactus is leaving footprints.
Yeah. No, it's a cartoon about Jesus, you know, the footprints beside you in the sand.
Yeah. That was when the cactus carried me.
Well, the winning caption was, I thought you said it wouldn't need much attention.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know how young people are with succulents, too.
Oh, yeah. They love to talk about how they killed succulents.
Yeah.
It's a whole new genre of millennial humor.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
but as an alternative, you guys submitted.
Oh, shit. shit, fuck.
I mean, I think you probably, what you're trying to convey, I think, is the sort of emotional state of the woman who's being pursued by a giant, very threatening cactus.
By a giant saguaro cactus.
Covered in spikes.
Which would be terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're out there alone, you know, and there's a giant saguaro cactus chasing you.
One of the more terrifying varietals, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's much friendlier succulents, but a saguaro cactus.
I think they hold a lot of water. I think there's a lot of water locked up in a saguaro.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
So what you guys have done here basically, with the caption contest, what I, in selecting the cartoons that we use for it, try to do, and like I tend to find ones that like have one weird thing in the hope that like everybody essentially
tries to resolve the tension.
And in relatively similar ways, so that there aren't like competing reads of who's talking, or you know, like whether it's the giant cat in the window or the like talking vacuum cleaner that you're supposed to be making fun of. Yeah, so it's basically like one thing that you want to elegantly resolve. And you guys, what you do, it's not the most elegant solution. It's the least elegant solution.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
I'm curious, how do you think the system actually works? How do you think the winners are actually selected? Sometimes when I talk to people, I feel like the vision that they have in their mind is of me sort of in a darkened room in front of a fire, like tossing their submissions into the flames and like Mr. Burns cackling until I find one that's like particularly like punny and dorky. And then I'm like, the winner.
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding is that a young man named Colin Stokes has to read all of them.
Wrong.
Right? No?
It used to be that the cartoon assistant would sort through all of them. And we like lost many good young men to the cause because they would sort through these 6,000 captions, many of which were the same or almost identical, and then winnow it down for the final few to be voted on. But yeah, now it's the whole thing is done by sort of algorithm up until the very last steps. So people vote unfunny, somewhat funny, very funny online. And then this algorithm was developed at the University of Wisconsin for an experiment on genetic diseases to determine a ranking of which genes were most important in expressing a disorder. And this was like we were using it as like a test case to help them hone the algorithm. So that culls the sort of downvoted ones or least upvoted ones. And then Colin looks at a list of like the top 100, picks like 10 or so from those, and then the winner is selected by popular vote. It's like pretty much more democratic than the U.S. Election process at this point.
But also totally hackable.
Yeah. Is that algorithm open source?
Yeah. I think it might be actually. Oh, God. This is a disaster. Russia is going to be like on this.
I assume the algorithm stopped. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah. Heavy arm of the algorithm fell down hard.
If you had put spaces between the ellipse and the words, maybe the punctuation was saved.
Yeah, one of the ellipses has five periods, and that's frowned upon.
It is interesting because I feel like a lot of times people, when they submit to the caption contest or submit humor, any of the humor I look at, whether it's shouts or cartoons, there's this impulse to imitate, sort of what you're describing, to imitate what one thinks like a New Yorker sensibility is, and they're always the worst submissions. I mean, like, it's the notion that, like, the New Yorker is this very, like, dry, stuffy, like, punny thing. And the caption contest, sometimes those things are rewarded because it is people voting on each other's ideas. But, yeah, it's the sort of difference between you guys. There's the LaCroix.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Like, you know, one of the things that you do is use sort of like very like contemporary meme-ish Tumblr trending things and words and like brand names and things. Do I have that? Oh, I have it. Okay. It's PC Bay. Do you want to describe?
Yeah. So this is a guy in the hospital. He is wearing, you know, what looks like one of those like frat boy beer helmet things. With two cans of something strapped to his head, but they're feeding into his arms like an IV. The winning caption, this one's good, "I was just transferred to the fraternity ward." No? Matt's shaking his head. A little bit, it's close to pun.
That's verging on pun.
That's definitely pun territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the percentage of puns, I mean, I am very adverse to puns. So the number that I actually make it into the magazine is quite low at this point. But yeah.
I mean, it works. It definitely works. But you can do more with this particular image.
True. Such as, for example.
For example, it's Pomplamoose LaCroix, LOL, I'm like addicted. Which is
so
to explain this to the listener.
So I think though this is the magic of PC Vey's cartoons. Like there's the look on this guy's face as he's saying this. Like he's excited. Like he's having a pretty good day.
You know, there's this whole performative love of LaCroix, in particular the grapefruit flavor that exists online and which is like very millennial inflected and like pointless to a certain extent. It's like it's a brand of seltzer from the upper Midwest that has kind of ugly cans.
It's cheap at Target and it's terrible for your teeth.
I didn't know that. That's good to know.
I used to drink a lot of it.
I actually
feel like they leave me less hydrated than when I started.
That's the question about seltzer, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm a vintage girl.
The idea is just he's a dumb online millennial.
These are very, very Tumblr speaky.
They're Tumblr friendly. Yeah. Yeah.
I love Tumblr. I think it's fantastic.
It's a nice community.
Yeah, it's this like weird, like happy space in between like the darker, more consequential parts of the internet.
And we've definitely like honed a certain like insanely dumb internet speak style, just like by virtue of just living in that realm. I think you just slowly get dumber. Do you sense that there's in our wild popularity on Tumblr, there's a yearning in your audience for dumb millennial humor that is like intentionally unfunny?
Are you trying to sell me something right now? Because if you don't mind, I brought along this folder.
Do you guys hire captioners?
So I can't draw.
Here, let's do one more, and then we'll call it a day.
Yeah, can we do the bird one?
Yeah, let's definitely do the bird one.
Matt, do you want to do it?
So what we have here is there's a park bench scenario. Nice looking park, a couple of trees in the background. There's a man sitting and reading a book. And what's happening next to him is there is a person absolutely swarmed by birds. I'm just covered head to foot in birds. And the winning caption is, "Shall I keep reading?"
I'm just gonna be honest here. This is the first one. I feel like that's a dud.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did that person have like a big Twitter following or something?
That's too dry.
It's probably Russian.
Yeah, that's too. Yeah, yeah. That's somebody hacked this particular context. Willie, do you want to read the one on the bottom?
Sure. You've got like 35 birds crawling all over you, my dude.
So you've literally described.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
that's a classic. That's a classic approach for you guys.
And that one, you know, I will say this: Tumblr loved that caption.
Yeah, Tumblr did.
Probably just the inclusion of my dude to make it sound.
Tumblr loves when you describe exactly what's happening in an image, and end with my dude.
Yeah,
they're like, oh yeah, that's I'm totally the same.
Yeah, we got to get that dopamine rush of those likes and those reblogs.
Yeah, so I'm now noticing how many times we've described literally but slangily what's happening in the
you go that route, you go fucked up or lewd.
Yeah,
you go
which do you like
cursing.
Best?
Yeah, which one is gonna win? Like, which one's gonna win, Emma?
It's always very funny to read theories of what makes the winner, because of course it's like none of them are really right because it's people voting on the internet and an algorithm created by scientists. But like there was this great University of Colorado Boulder study that was like there are four factors you have to take into consideration if you want to win, which are novelty, length, punctuation, and quote, abstractness and imaginability, which like actually, with your guys' captions, you do pretty well on all of those. Because it's like you do have uncommon words.
Like fuck.
Researchers. Yeah, researchers were like, well, or like manlet.
That's a good one.
Researchers are like, okay, so check that off. Often few punctuation marks. Often you guys just have all lowercase and no punctuation marks.
Yeah.
Which
Tumblr.
You think would be a winning. Yeah.
That was a major like year three innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really turned the
I'm
corner.
I'm glad to know that you're constantly, you know, rethinking your process and improving on it.
I mean, there's people love the contest.
Yeah.
Like, it's lots of people really love it. They really want to be. They really want to win. They really want to be a part of it. That, you know, like it's a great, like it's a great product that the magazine puts out.
Yeah.
I will say that. So I don't submit anymore. For, you know, relatively obvious
reasons. I think someone would burn this building down if you want.
Oh, yeah. But no, my boyfriend did, as I mentioned before, a lot of the submissions that come in are actually truly the same, like exactly the same thought. And before I was in this job, when I was just editing Shout's stuff, he won. But then Colin realized it was him. And for, you know, potential accusations of nepotism reasons. Colin gave it to someone else who had the same, but we still have a print of it in our bathroom.
Oof. Oh man. What was can you tell us what it was?
Sure.
I'm kind of curious.
So it's a Michael Maslin cartoon, and it's two cars. A car is rear ended another car, and the two drivers have gotten out. There's a sort of stoplight hanging in front of them.
I remember this one. Yeah, and I know what I submitted either.
And it's sort of the devil, I think, is in back, he's rear-ended the angel, and the caption my boyfriend submitted was "Didn't you see the light?" which is the caption that also won.
Oh wow, mine was great. Now we'll never make it to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's shoulders in time. It's just awful. It didn't even make sense. But you know, ISIS was big at the time.
I'm not gonna say what mine was.
That was Willie Staley and Matt Jordan of Shitty New Yorker Cartoon Captions.tumblr.com. They talked to The New Yorker's Emma Allen. That's it for The New Yorker Radio Hour. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to catch up on Twitter @New Yorker Radio. Catch you next time.